Let us just go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We declare and decree this evening that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught, truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. I will declare and decree that at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified, and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I will make this quickly to Luke 24. Look at Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 24. Look at that quickly. Luke 24:24. It says, and certain of them went to the sepulchre and found it even so, as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them in verse 35, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken about, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. Look at verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name, in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. You know, so this is a very fundamental conversation after the resurrection of Jesus. And if you go back to verse 24, you see the conversation of them being in doubt about the resurrection facts, you know. And it was a very interesting conversation that led to so many other conversations and all of that. And by extension, you see what Luke makes you see in Acts chapter 1, that, you know, Jesus after resurrection actually was given to teaching for 40 full days. You know, so now, what was he teaching, and where was he teaching from? He was teaching strictly from the writings of the prophets, right? So if you look at verse 44 again, it says, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. Yeah? That would be figurative, or that would mean, while I was yet with you will mean, oh, just before the resurrection, before the crucifixion and burial and all of that. Then, you know, so these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses. So it means that there were things in the law of Moses that must have, or that needed to be fulfilled. This is, and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written. So it means that the fundamental fact about our Christian faith is, number one, Jesus as the template of what we have come into, you know, taught from scripture. So it means that we will have to teach from scriptures. So it means that we will come into certain realities of our faith from the teachings of scriptures. And at the point in time, scriptures will mean Genesis to Malachi. Yeah, because Jesus didn't quote Luke, Jesus didn't quote Paul, Jesus didn't quote Romans, didn't quote Peter, or quote the book of John or the book of Revelations, right? So Jesus will teach, or the teachings of Jesus will strongly and sternly be found in the writings of Moses and the prophet. That's a very interesting part of Christian faith you must, you know, take note of. Look at Acts 1, look at Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Acts chapter 1 verse 2, look at what it says, until the day in which he was taken up by the Holy Ghost, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And look at verse 3 carefully, it says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs being seen of them for 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining the kingdom of God. So Jesus was found teaching for 40 days back to back. Yeah, and was teaching about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So it means that a good Christian, a believer who will follow the same line in which Jesus followed, will be found persistent in teaching. altogether, you know, we cannot really teach about the long suffering of God in a hurry. We cannot teach that God is patient with mankind and not be patient in teaching that fact that He is patient. This is what I just said. So, He showed Himself alive back to back, teaching consistently for 40 days. And Luke now tells you in the book of Luke that, oh, the content of His teaching were strictly from the writings of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. So it means that everything about our Christian faith will be found as its basic, or its foundation will be found in the writings of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Altogether, so it means that in the real sense, we need to carefully examine certain truths about the scriptures. Now, it's important to also recall, like we've said over and over, that, you know, it's important to know that we said over and over that, you know, the Bible or the scriptures or Moses did not write to you in mind. Are we together, right? Moses did not write having you in mind, yeah? And the apostles, or rather, let me say, Ezekiel, so to say, the apostles, you know, they were writing to a particular group of people. So a very good way to, you know, study the Bible is actually to sit where their audience sat, to see what their audience saw when they were being taught or when they were being written to. I'll say that again. Yeah, a good way to be a good student is to sit where the audience are, so you can have a perspective of what they saw. So it means that it will involve rigorous study. So that is why a lot of times we hear us say things like the grammatical analysis, the contextual analysis, because all these things really matter in Bible study. Yeah, so if we're teaching about salvation as God's plan from time, it means that we need to actually sit down to see how the plan of salvation was communicated to man by Moses and the prophets. Altogether, look at something in Numbers 9. Look at Numbers chapter 9 quickly. I will show you something in Numbers chapter 9, verse 11. Numbers chapter 9, verse 11. Look at Numbers chapter 9, verse 11. Numbers chapter 9, verse 11. It says, the 14th day of the second month at even they shall keep it, right? And eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. I'll read that again, and this is actually instructive to the believer, okay? Yeah, so you need to get that. So the 14th day of the second month at even, they shall keep it, right? And eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, right? So if you think about it, the 14th day of the second month in today's day and time is actually what we call the Valentine's Day, right? Where everybody spills a lot of bread all over and actually celebrates the concept of since Valentine's love practice or whatever you have. But I mean, if you actually want to believe that the Bible was written to you, you should actually see that Numbers 9:11 is an instruction. So it means that when you're pastor reads Numbers 9:11, the next thing you say is instructed, yeah? So you are instructed in that instruction. Do you understand? It's in the Bible, you know? So by the time you put all this together, you realize that a lot of us have the selective amnesia, right? We select what we want to see and see what we want to see the way we want to see it, yeah? Because the truth is that, okay, go to 2 Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. Look at 2 Timothy 3:15. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. They are profitable. That word they're profitable is the word advantageous. Yeah. So the scriptures are given as an advantage or to an advantage or with an advantage for doctrine. The word their doctrine is the word they're teaching. It says for reproof. Yes, it supplies assurance, and for the word their correction, and for instruction, that word their training. Yeah, but a lot of us want to see the good part of Bible. So it means that a good Bible student will actually read scriptures and be corrected while studying scriptures, right? A good Bible student will be trained up with scriptures. Are we together? Well, a lot of us have the selective amnesia, and we know, and that's why the conversation of favorite memory verses come into. And you know, it's interesting to see that Paul did not by mistake, or Paul did, so let me say it this way, Paul did not omit the fact that there's something called quotation. So he didn't say scriptures are given by inspiration of God and they are advantageous for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and for quoting. Yeah, so in as much as we quote scriptures, yeah, the truth is that a scripture well quoted is only quoted to the degree in which it is contextually correct. You know, we're in a generation right now where a lot of us believe that, oh, it's working. Is it working? It's working. Is it working? It's working. As long as it's working, we keep at it. But, you know, we can't afford to approach our Christian faith in such a manner. I went together that it is working doesn't mean it is right. Yeah, look at it. A politician can be in power and steal the money of the people, and you know he's getting rich. Is the stealing working? Yes. Is the stealing the right practice? No. Do you understand? Right? An armed robber can actually pray and go for a robbery, and he will not be caught nor shot, and he will steal successfully. Now, you know, it can easily associate the success. You know, I heard of robbers, or let me say it in a well exclusive way. So I put myself out of the conversation. So I know by watching movies, and particularly Nigerian movies, okay, yeah, in time past, where you see robbers pray, they commit their robbery into the hands of God. Do you understand? So in a real sense, yeah, when they finish and they are not caught, they come back and say, thank you, Jesus. Right? And you know, one of their songs can be, is he walking? He's walking. No, 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 he's walking. Yeah. So in the real sense that it works, does that mean that what they did is right? No. So we don't approach scriptures from the perspective of is it working? See, the word of God has worked already. Yeah, a long time ago, ancient days behind, you know, in time memorial, we've seen God's promise being made, you know, through the lips of the prophets, and we've seen it come into fulfillment in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yeah. So God's work, God's word has worked. Yeah, God's word will work to the degree in which it has worked. Are we together? So we're in a generation right now where it's easy. Let me not say this generation, but you know, a lot of believers, you know, the result is what validates their understanding of scriptures. Right. So, for instance, and because we have that emotional aspect of ourselves or of ourselves as humans, it's easy to communicate to that aspect and say whatever things that happen. So for someone like me, for instance, I pay deliberate attention to what a man says after he has witnessed the miraculous. Yeah, you see, because it's easy to see the miraculous, it works on your mind, and the next thing you actually take from the next thing that is said, you know, it's something that is awful. Yeah, but it will make sense because we just literally saw the miraculous. Do you understand what I just said? Right? So we can have people have results and say things after their results, you know, and actually what they say after their result is not a proper, you know, explanation of God's word. Are we together? So in the real sense, you see, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. There are advantages for doctrine. That it says for reproof, for correction, for instruction, no quoting. Yeah, so in as much as we, you know, I've taught this severally, speaking about how in the 15th, you know, 14th century and all of that, the Bible was broken down into chapters and verses by extension in further years after that, you know, first into chapters and next into verses. And in the real sense, yeah, the Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses. It was written as a document, and most particularly, the best you would have said would be paragraphs, beginning of flowing conversations and thoughts. You know, so in real sense, the truth is that we need to sit painstakingly to actually read comprehensively, yeah, so that we can have a comprehensive understanding of God's word. Are we together? Yeah, so in as much as we have chapters and verses to aid quoting or to aid our study. So for instance, we started this teaching by going to Luke 24, verse 24. Yeah, so I mean the benefit of chapter and verses came in handy. Yeah, we went to Luke 24, verse 24. We went to Numbers 9, verse 11. So you see, it makes what we want to say easy. But the truth is that if we teach Luke 24, verse 24 outside the context of the book of Luke, yeah, we've actually done injustice to God's word. I went together. So in as much as quotations are good, yeah, memory verses are good. It's good to have memory verses, no memory verses. But the truth is that, yeah, knowing memory verses is not equal to proper interpretation of scriptures. So for instance, one of the common memory verses believers usually have when it comes to healing, for instance, is by stripes you are healed. Yeah, so look at Isaiah 53. Let's have a little gist this evening, okay? Look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53 is in the Old Testament just after or just before Jeremiah. Look at Isaiah 53. You know, if you read Isaiah 53 and verse look at verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions, yeah, but the truth is that don't forget the word but. Yeah, Isaiah's conversation in chapter 53, verse 5, started from verse 1, so to say, and by extension, verse 1 of chapter 1 of the book of Isaiah. Are we together? Yeah, so he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. You know, so you have we have believers, for instance, who have this as their major verses or major verse for performing the miraculous or having healing meetings. And the truth is that, you know, interestingly, it works. You know, for the fun of the phrase, it works, right? It's working. Yeah, they will say it works. Yeah, you understand? It will say it works. It's working. Yeah, but just look at Isaiah chapter 1. Just look at Isaiah chapter 1. Just look at Isaiah chapter 1 and just see something very interesting in Isaiah chapter 1, right? Look at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. So if you look at Isaiah chapter 1, you see in verse 1, the vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Ahaz, Ezekiah, and kings of Judah. Now hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Yeah, for the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought them children, and they have rebelled against me. So from the verse 2, you are speaking about a people who have rebelled against the God. Altogether, look at verse 4. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. You see, rebelled, verse 2. Laden with iniquity, verse 3. A seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They are forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. Right? They have gone away backwards. Right? Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye revolt more and more. He says, the whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. Now, when he says the whole head is sick, the kind of sickness he's speaking about is the sickness of, is the sickness of rebellion or rebellion. Are we together? Yeah, they've rebelled. That rebellion will be or will reflect in the whole head being sick. Are we together? So to mean that from the beginning of Isaiah, we see that Isaiah in the real sense, right, did not or started using sickness for something as figurative. How do you know? Look at verse 6. It says, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. But what? Wounds, bruises, yeah, putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointments. I want to get, so those are figures of speech. So can you see the use of wounds? You see the word of use of bruises, the use of putrefying sores. So you must have read Isaiah 1 verse 6 before you get to Isaiah 53 verse 5. I went together. Yeah, so he says, your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land strangers devoured with presents. You see, and the daughter of Zion is left at the cottage of And if I had, you know, he now says here the word of living God in verse 10, and the word of God, Lord, actually, ye rulers of Sodom, right? He now uses Sodom as a figure again, right? So give ears unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah, right? To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? I am full of burnt offerings, of rams, of fat, of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, of lambs, or of goats. So there is a blood that God doesn't derive on. So it means that consequently, when you see blood in Isaiah, you need to pay attention to what is actually about. Are we together? Yeah. So when he comes to appear before me, who had required these things from your hand to tread my courts? Yeah, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. Yeah, the new moons, the Sabbath, calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. They are iniquity. Even your solemn meetings. Altogether, yeah. So look at verse 15, the last part. Your hands are full of blood. Now, see what it says in verse 16. It says, wash you, make yourself clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, right? So what would be the evil? Learn to do well, seeking judgment, relieving the oppressed, yeah. Judge the fatherless, plead the widow. Now, come, let us reason together. Yeah, come, let us reason again. Look at that again, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together. Says the Lord, though your sins be scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, yeah, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. So first of all, a rebellious people, right? A rebellious people who have practiced or mastered the ways of physical things for sin related stuff. Right? So it means that when you now go to Isaiah 53, look at Isaiah 53, verse 5. So what it now tells you that, verse 5, he was bruised for our iniquity, right? He was wounded for our transgression. Remember, from Isaiah chapter 1, you saw the use of wounds, you saw the wounds of bruises. Are we together? So the chastisement of our peace, right, was upon him. Are we together? Look at verse 1. So, look at verse 1. It says, who had believed our report? So, it means that Isaiah writes to an end that a report is to be believed. What do you suppose the report will be? Right from chapter 1, he is giving you a narrative of the line in which the report goes. Here, which is, if you are willing and obedient, come unto me, let us reason together, and though your sins be as red as crimson, they shall be as white as wool. Yeah, who believes that report is what Isaiah is talking about. Look at it. Who is the arm of the Lord revealed? Right? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, right? And as a root out of dry ground, he had no form nor comeliness. So when you now read the conversation of form, comeliness, and see how, you know, Philippians now puts that, you now realize that, okay, Isaiah is speaking about a person. That is why you will see that when, okay, look at Acts 8. Look at Acts chapter 8. Are we here? Look at Acts chapter 8. we started in Acts 8 on Sunday, and look at it. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 28. Or look at 27. And he arose and went, that is Philip, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Look at 28. Was returning and sitting in the chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand? So he was reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit of the Lord said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked him, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I except one guides me through that? Right? Then look at 36. 32. Then the place of the scriptures which he read was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Right? And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Right, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I went together. So the man read, the Ethiopian eunuch read Isaiah and saw a sheep, narrative of as a lamb being led and the sheep being led to the slaughter. And he asked a very intelligent question. Who was this Isaiah speaking to? I went together. So go back to Isaiah 53. So it means that when you see who I believe that I report, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed, for he shall grow. Yeah, as a wise Ethiopian eunuch, you would ask the same question. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Is Isaiah speaking of himself or speaking of somebody else? I went together. Yeah, so look at it again. And as he rode out of the dry land, he had no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him. You see that? So the question that should come to your mind is, who is Isaiah speaking about? Is he speaking about himself or someone else? Look at verse 33. He is despised and rejected of men. Is Isaiah speaking about himself or somebody else? So, look at it. Imagine if the Ethiopian eunuch in the Bible, which is Acts chapter 8, reads this conversation and knows to ask if this Isaiah is speaking about himself or another man. Now think about yourself. Now thinking this verse is about you. Hey, I was despised and rejected of my kindred. Eh? I was seen as a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And people hid their faces from me because I was poor. I was despised and I was esteemed not. You see? Yeah, ignorance doesn't look good on the believer, really. Surely he had borne our griefs. So now, look at it. Why would you pick verse 3 and not pick verse 4? Did you bear anybody's grief? Did you carry anybody's sorrow? Yeah. So can you see the conversation of, you need to ask, is he speaking about himself or about a person? Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. What should you ask? Is Isaiah speaking about himself or somebody else? Yes, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Yeah, the chastisement. Remember, the conversation from chapter 1 has been speaking about a rebellious people. Altogether, so the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So the healing in that conversation has to be in the context of healing. Why? Because the sickness, yeah, even though Isaiah uses sickness for physical, even within his writing, the overall and immediate context explains the kind of healing he's speaking about. So with his stripes we are healed. So are there people who have said by his stripes they are healed, and they actually stand up from the sickbed? Yes, there are, in their hundreds. Yeah, but the truth is that results don't validate appropriate Bible doctrine. That's the truth. Yeah, we don't validate appropriate, because you will see some people, so for instance, criminals will use scriptures and actually use, arm robbers can read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It means you like that in green pastures. Yeah, the 10,000 might come rend myself, and use it as their confession while going for robbery. The fact that they are successful doesn't mean that they interpreted the scriptures properly. Doesn't mean we should change the interpretation of what the Bible really means to suit what their result entails. Are we together? Yeah, so by stripes we are healed. The next verse tells you, all we like sheep have gone astray. Hey, we started reading about a people that went astray from chapter 1, the rebellious generation. Are we together? Yeah, that in the whole body there is no soundness. So the healing, he says the whole head is sick. The healing will be in regards to what? Those who have gone astray. Are we together? So by his stripes we are healed, we are reconciled, we are brought back into redemption, we are brought into the Father's arms, so to say. Yeah, so our sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer, dumb, and he opened not his mouth. You see, the Anatopian eunuch will ask the intelligent question. What is the question? Is this about Isaiah, about somebody else, or is it about you reading it in the 21st century? It's not about you, because Isaiah did not write to you in mind. Look at Romans 15. Right, Isaiah 53, right? Look at Romans 15 quickly. Look at Romans chapter 15. Let's read verse 4 quickly. Look at Romans 15, 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and the comfort of scriptures might have hope." Yeah, so they were not written to you, but they were written for our learning. So we learn from the writings. So when you go back to Isaiah 53, you need to learn about the healing. Yeah, you need to learn about that which that healing that was supplied. You need to learn about the shame and everything that came on Jesus. Look at Peter. Are we together? Look at Peter. Look at Peter. Look at First Peter. Look at First Peter. Look at First Peter. Look at First Peter chapter 2. Chapter 2. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's read something quickly in 1 Peter chapter 2. Are we there? Have you gone home? You're home, right? 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us." Okay, hold on. Look at verse 24. "Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that when being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." So it means that this "by his stripes you are healed," we saw that in Isaiah 53 verse 5. So it means that the immediate conversation or contextual analysis of Isaiah chapter 1 Peter 2, 24 will be from Isaiah as its foundation. Right? So go back to Isaiah 1 Peter 2. Verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Look at verse 22. "Who did no sin, neither was God found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth what righteously." He says, "Who himself bore our sins on his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." Look at verse 25. It tells you, "For ye were as sheep." So the healing that his stripes supplies is that we were as sheep going astray, but we have now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. Are we together? So the healing we receive in the resurrection is the healing of the returning as sheep who went astray back to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Are we together? Yeah, remember the series we had? Yeah, we're going to have another one in a few months' time. Yeah, Faith and Healing Seminar, right? We're teaching about how physical healing points to what? Spiritual healing, right? So in the real sense, the healing that is sorted in the resurrection is actually spiritual healing. Yeah, but because we have been sorted by healing, and it means by extension we have the Spirit of God, it means that as believers, we are empowered. Yeah, so the fact that we're empowered means that all forms of sicknesses can be cured, because we've been cured from the most important sickness, or we've been received, or we've been relieved, or we've returned back to the bishop and shepherd of our souls. Can we say by stripes we are healed and actually get people healed? Yes, you can. Yeah, so in the real sense, yeah, the power of God is what is most important in the healing of the sick. Yeah, an understanding of the power of God is what matters the most. That's why you see in Acts chapter 2, yeah, where you see John, Peter heading towards the temple in the hour of prayer, Acts chapter 3, so to say, Acts 3, Acts 4, right? You see that as they were going to pray, yeah, they saw a lame man, and they said, "See, while good we have not, but all we have will give unto you. Look upon us, rise up and walk." And we're together. Then Peter walked out that miracle. Yeah, you see, so they had not prayed, they had not studied. So what do I mean they had not studied? They were not coming for a Bible study. They were not coming for a prayer meeting. Yes, in the real sense, could they have finished from a prayer meeting or a Bible study and actually still do that healing? Yes, they could. In fact, could they have had a wrong doctrinal persuasion and still do that healing? Yes, they could. I want to get, so by his stripes we are healed, yet that it is the most, is the sweetest phrase or the sweetest phrase to actually, you know, say while getting or wanting to get people healed, doesn't mean that contextual analysis speaks about the healing to both physical healing. Are we together? So a Bible student must sit where their audience or the audience of the author sat to see what they saw. You see, what did we do this evening? We went to Isaiah to start seeing that Isaiah started talking about what? A rebellious people. He now gets to chapter 53 and says, who shall believe our report? What is the report about? Though your sins be as red as crimson, they shall be as white as snow. Are we together? Are we together? I hope you're here. Right? So, in the real sense, as students, we need to sit down properly to have a proper persuasion or proper understanding of our persuasions and by extension have deepened and convictions. Right? So, it means that everything about your Christian faith will be well written out or will have its foundation in the writings of the prophet and the writings of Moses. Are we together? Look at John 3. Let me show you something quickly. Look at John 3. Look at John 3, 1. Excuse me. John 3, 1. Look at John chapter 3, verse 1. Are you here? Right? So John chapter 3 says something very interesting. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now it says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God with him, or God be with him. Look at what Jesus says in verse 3. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, where we, now remember Luke 24, the words that I speak unto you while I was yet with you, right? Yeah, are the words which must be fulfilled, yeah, which were written in the writings of Moses and the writings of the prophets and the Psalms. So when it says, I say unto you, except a man born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's a teaching you will see, or you will see a foundation in the writings of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Are we together? So Nicodemus now said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Yeah, so Nicodemus is wise enough to know that when he say born, yeah, it has to deal with an external factor or a stronger factor. A stronger factor gives birth to something less. Yeah, how do you say it? Yeah, the smaller comes from the bigger. Are we together? Yeah, a child doesn't give birth to an adult. A cub doesn't give birth to a lion. Yeah, so a lion, a female, a grown, nurtured lion will give birth to a cub. So, Nicodemus knows that when it has to do with being born again, you have to, that, see the intelligent question here, I think verse 4. Yes, so to say, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? So, Nicodemus knows that when he says born again, it has to be something that an external factor will do. How do you know? Look at it. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now he says unto him, Jesus in verse 5, he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and the Spirit, yet he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So, wait. He says he cannot see the kingdom of God in verse 3, except you are born again. Okay, in verse 5, it says, except the man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So it means that the answers of Jesus will pertain the kingdom of God. Are we together? So it means that the kingdom of God will be something paramount to being born again. So, you cannot see the kingdom of God without being born of water. And so, it means that being born again in verse 3 is equal to being born of water in verse 4, in verse 5, and of the Spirit in verse 5. He now tells you in verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say thee, and you must be born again. So, when Jesus says be born again, it means be born of water and of the Spirit. Yeah, so go to 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians quickly. Look at 2 Corinthians quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, last chapter. Yeah. So 2 Corinthians says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Are we together? Now, a good way to read that is to actually pay attention to the words and conjunctions, so to say, used in that verse. So the word here, and, is the Greek word kai. Yeah, it's a word that is usually, a lot of times, can be used in conjunction, speaking about two different things, or actually speaking about the same thing. So when it says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word there, and, is kai. So that word there, kai, means, I mean, that is, which is. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, I mean the love of God. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the love of God. Yet I mean the communion of the Holy Ghost. So the grace is the love, is the communion. The word there, communion, koinonia, supply, fellowship, so to say. Right? So the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is actually an exhibition of the love of God, which is the supply of the Holy Ghost. Same thing. So it's not the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, the love of God, and the sweet fresh of the Holy Ghost mixed together like a concussion. No, it's the same thing. They're not independent things you need to mix, then everything should be with you. No. The grace is with you in that His love is with you, in that the communion of the Spirit is with you. Look at Romans 5. Look at Romans 5. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. Yes? Romans chapter 5 verse 8. Or look at Romans chapter 5 verse 5. Yeah, look at Romans 5:5. So Romans 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is koinonia, communion. Yeah, so can you see the love of God, right, from 2 Corinthians 13 is in Romans 5:5. The Holy Ghost given is in Romans 5:5. What is actually in Corinthians that is not in Romans? This is the grace, that is verse 5 alone. So, it means that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So, 2 Corinthians 13 says, the grace of our Lord is the love of God, which is actually the Holy Ghost, or the proof, or you see that exhibited in the giving of the Holy Ghost in our hearts. Are we together? So, the word here, and, speaks or explains that which was said before. Now, so, go back to John, right? So, John. So, John 5:5. So look at John chapter 5, verse 5. It says, John 3, 5. Look at John chapter 3, verse 5. It says what? It says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and, so that word here is the same and, which is kai, which is actually what? The Greek word kai, which speaks or explains that which was said before sometimes. Sometimes, yeah, used to explain that. So a good way to read Timothy, John rather, is verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, I mean of the Spirit. Yeah, if you see very well, if you have a good Bible, the word here of is in italics. So, born of water and the Spirit. So, born of water, I mean the Spirit. Yeah, you see, the water doesn't have a definite article. The Spirit has a definite article. They are spirits. Yeah, so except a man be born of water, I mean the Spirit, he cannot enter. Yeah, so to be born of water means to be born of the Spirit, that means to be born again. Are we together? Yeah, yeah. So if you look at the contextual analysis of born again, it's actually better used as born from above. Yeah, so a greater force. That is why the Nicodemus asks, will you enter your mother's womb again? So it means for you to be born again, a greater force than your mother will give birth to you. Yeah, so what is actually that greatest force? The Spirit. Yeah, so if your mother gives birth to you, you cannot be unborn. Yeah, the Spirit of God cannot give birth to you and you will now be unborn again. So, where do you suppose born of water and the Spirit will actually gain his conversation from? It will be from the writings of Moses and the prophets. How do we know that? Let me show you something quickly. Okay, go to John 5. Yeah, let me show you something quickly in John 5. Look at John chapter 5. Look at verse John 7. Let's see John 7. John 7, verse 37. John chapter 7. Verse 37 says, the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Okay, for a man to be thirsty means that he needs water. Or what quenches thirst is actually water. So you must have read John 3 when it speaks about water, Spirit, born again. Okay, look at it again. If a man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hello? Out of his belly shall flow. Okay, hold on. Think about it. Let me just use it for benefit of the explanation. Yeah? What gives birth to you? Or you were cooking in your mother's womb. Okay, let me just leave that. Right? Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Please, don't stop there. Look at 39. But this speak he of the Spirit. Can you see? Water, the Spirit. So, flow of rivers of living water has to do with the Spirit. Born of water has to do with the Spirit. How together? But this spoke here of the Spirit which he that believed on him should receive. Right? For the Holy Ghost was not given. Yeah, remember, Romans 5 now tells you the Holy Ghost has been given as a proof of God's love shed abroad in our hearts. Yeah, so the love of God in our hearts is the receiving of the Holy Ghost, which actually means we are born again, born of the Spirit. I would get that is born of God's water. Hey, hallelujah. Yeah, I'm born of God's water, born of God's Spirit. Yeah, so he says that, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus had not or was not yet glorified. So Jesus had not resurrected at this time. So the resurrection is the supply of the Spirit to man. When a man believes it, he is born again. He is born of water. He has drunk. Remember, if you are thirsty, you drink from the rivers of living water flowing from the belly of Jesus. Yeah, the belly of Jesus that actually supplies rivers of living water will be the belly that supplies the river of water that supplies salvation to man. Yeah, that water quenches thirst. It quenches thirst. Hallelujah. Where do you suppose the teaching of water and the conversation of water will stem from? The writing of Moses and the prophets. Look at Ezekiel quickly. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36, 24. Are we together? Yeah. So, to be born again in John 3, 3 is actually to be born of water in John 3, 5, which is born of the Spirit, John 3, 5, which is actually to actually drink from the rivers of living water out of Jesus' belly in John 7, 39. Are we together? Which is actually the giving of the Holy Ghost in Romans 5, right? Which is actually the love of God expressed as the grace of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So look at Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Are we here? Are we gone on? Look at Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. Look at verse 24. It says, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather ye out of the countries and will bring you into your own land. Hallelujah. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. So the conversation of Jesus using water in John is not new to in John. It's you would have seen water in Ezekiel, in the writings of the prophet and in Moses. Yeah, so then will I sprinkle clean water upon you and ye shall be clean. Dear saints, if they sprinkle water on you, you cannot be clean. But if God sprinkles his water on you, you are clean. Are we together? Yeah, so it means that, so for some of us who like the practice of water baptism, right, so I will do practice and immersion. Both of them are the same. They are both immersion and sprinkling, really. They are both in the same WhatsApp group. Yeah, wrong Bible interpretation, so to say, right? Yeah, so water doesn't do anything to your physical body. Are we together? What the water that God supplies is supposed to affect your heart, not your physical body. It is your heart. How do you know? Keep reading. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? 26 says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So it means that the clean or sprinkling of water will make you clean is actually a replacement of the heart. Look at 27, in case you are not sure. I will put my spirit, right? Within you. So the water that sprinkles or the water that makes clean is the spirit that God puts within man. Right? So I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my status, really. And ye shall keep my judgment and do them. Are we together? Right? So the water that God supplies is the water of the spirit as a replacement of the stony heart. So what is clean water? I will sprinkle clean water on you is symbolic for the Spirit of God or symbolic for newness. Yeah, but actually it speaks about the new heart, the new spirit that God gives in the resurrection. Are we together? So when Jesus says you cannot see the kingdom of God except being born of water. So God's kingdom is something you partake of when you are born of water. Yeah, what water? Not physical H2O. H2O cannot give birth to a man. Hello? Yeah, see, water cannot change anything about a man's heart. Are we together? Yeah. Water doesn't change. You know, some of us say water baptism is an open display of the inward reality. Okay. Open display means follow love walk. Walk on, have good conduct. Yeah. You cannot be entering water every morning or every month, every time they are doing baptism in every church you go to, and you have poor conduct. Look at it. See, what does God derive from? What does God want from you? A new heart, or what for man? A new heart that will reflect in his conduct and love walk amongst other men. Are we together? So we have lots of people who have been showered in water or put in water. Interestingly, in this part of the world, we use rivers a lot of times. Yeah, for two countries, they use swimming pools and, you know, baths and all those things. But when we use river, a lot of times, you actually come out dirty. Yeah, river is not clean water. River, you just had your bath with dirty water. That's the best water baptism does. Yeah, because the only thing that changes a man, so the only thing that changes a man from inside out is actually the word of God, which is actually the spirit that you receive when you become born again, which is being born of the water, which is actually drinking the water that flows from the belly of Jesus as the rivers of living water that quenches the thirst of man. Are we here, Abigono? Right? So I'll sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. So when God says, I will, yeah, I will, this I will is actually God that will do it, yeah? He will give you a new heart, yeah? So what do you do? He that is thirsty, let him come unto me to drink of my clean water. So what happens when you drink of the clean water? It is actually tantamount to the fact that you've received a new heart, which is a new spirit. Are we together? So what does it mean to be born again? I'll say it again. To be born again will mean to be born of the water. Yeah, to be born of water will mean to be born of the Spirit. To be born of the Spirit will mean to drink from the rivers of living water from the belly of Jesus. Yeah, to drink of the river of living water from the belly of Jesus is to quench your thirst. To quench your thirst is to receive the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, which is an expression of God's love, which is actually an expression of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see what I just did? Right? Which actually boils down to the clean water that God supplies as the new heart, which is received in the resurrection. Are we here? Are we gone? Yeah, you're home, right? Are we together? Yeah, we're just trying to have a little chat about the new creation and just, you know, pay a little attention to a few things here and there. So it means that as good students of the Bible, you need to actually pay attention to certain truths about the Christian faith. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah, so the Christian man or the man who is a believer is one who has drank of God's water, right? Which is actually drank of God's clean water out of Jesus' belly, expressed as his grace towards mankind in the resurrection. Hallelujah. So look at 2 Corinthians 5. Are we here? Have we gone on, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So when you drink God's water, you are a new species. You are a new creation. Why? Because you have a new heart. You have a new spirit. That is God's spirit indwelling you, indwelling your heart. Are we together? So there is no believer who lacks God's spirit. Why? Because God actually does the work and places the spirit in the believer upon believing the gospel. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. Verse 16. Wherefore ends we know no man after the flesh. Hallelujah. So we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. What is a new creature? A new creature is that man which has received a new heart, which is actually the Spirit of God, which is actually the water that is being spoken about in John 3 and John 7. Hallelujah. So remember, Ezekiel 36 will tell you that I will take away the stone that I replaced. That is why you now see all things are passed away, because behold, rather, all things are become new. So therefore, if any man, so any man at all, that's an open check, be in Christ, he is a new creature. So that's what the concept of the Christed yearly meeting we have comes in from. Yeah. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new species that never existed before. All things are passed away, behold. So yes, all things are passed away, but Paul wants you to behold something. All things are become new. Yeah. So what are the all things that become new? Your house? Nope. Excuse me. Your house? No. Your car? No. Yeah. See. When you became born again, did your hairstyle change automatically? Your hairstyle only changed to the degree in which you went to a barbing saloon, to speak to a barber to change the style for you. Are we together? Yeah. So when it says all things behold, all things have become new. Yeah, it tells you what all things are in verse 18. It says that all things are of God. Hallelujah. So the all things that become new in verse 17, they are of God in verse 18. Yeah. What is it about? Who hath reconciled us? Yeah. As sheep who went astray, we have returned now back to the bishop and shepherd of our souls. Right? Isaiah 53. What does that mean? We are healed. So what is the healing? The healing is in the fact that God gives a new heart. The healing is in the fact that God gives his spirit. Yeah, the healing is in the fact that God actually places his spirit and takes away the stony heart and gives you the heart which is of God. So all things have become new. Pay attention to that. Yeah, you have a new spirit. You have a new heart. You have God's spirit in you. You've drank God's clean water. Hallelujah. Oh, praise Jesus. And all things are God who has reconciled us back to himself by Jesus Christ. See, this has been God's plan from the beginning of time. Yeah, this has been God's plan to reconcile man, to bring man back, to reconcile man into his proposed plan or idea, which is for man to be saved. Yeah, so the all things are of God means he has reconciled us to himself. How? By Jesus Christ. Yeah. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, is the love of God reconciling us back to himself by giving us the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Yeah. So, and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Yeah. So look at it. Yeah. The outward sign of the inward reality is the ministry of, see, the real ministry of reconciliation. Are we together? He says to wit that God was in Christ. What was he doing? Reconciling the world back unto himself. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. Yeah. Now, who had believed that report? Hallelujah. Isaiah started from there or ended, almost ended there. Yeah. What is the report? That your sins though be red as crimson, they shall be as white as wool. Yeah. Who had believed that report? Yeah. What is, how will God do that? God in Christ reconciling. You see, God was in Christ reconciling. So Jesus, God knew that the world needed a reconciliation. He decided to do it and put on flesh. So Jesus is God putting on flesh, doing the work of reconciliation of the world unto himself. Are we here? So to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the message, that's what the word, the doctrine or the message of reconciliation. Look at it, by extension, now then, yeah, let there be an outward show of your inward reality. What is it? As ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So behold, pay attention, all things are come are of God, all things have become new. Are we together? So the believer is God's new creation. Yeah, so the creation of the universe is a pointer to the creation that God produces in salvation. What is that, the new creation? Hallelujah. Look at 1 John. 1 John 5. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born again, or is born of God. So what does it mean to be born of God? To be born again. What does it mean to be born again? It's to be born of water, which is the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Right? So whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born again. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him, yeah, also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love, by this we know that we love the children of God, where we love God and keep his commandment. For this is the love of God, that we keep his what? His commandments, because they are not what? Grievous. Look at verse 4. For whatsoever, that is, whosoever is born of God, overcometh the world. This is victory, hallelujah, and overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus, right, is the Son of God, hallelujah. Look at verse 11. It says, this is the record that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Oh, glory to God. He that had the Son hath life, and he that had not the Son of God hath not life. So we have the Son of God, we have life. Yeah? So look at 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name, yeah, the work, the reputation of the Son of God. What is that reputation you need to believe in? That God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself. Believe on that, yeah? It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have. No, you will have. Ye have right now. Why? Because you've received his life, and you have received the life that is given to us, which is eternal life. So this is the record that God had given us, eternal life. Yeah, he that hath the Son hath life. Are we together? Yeah, so this is the very thing unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. Now, if we shall ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petition that we desire of him. If any man sees what I see, yeah, a beautiful conversation we don't want to go into today. Yeah. So in the real sense, we see that we have received the life of God, which is the Spirit of God. So to be born of the Spirit of God is to be born again, which is to be born of water, which is to be born of the Spirit of God, which is to be born of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Which is to receive life, which is to know that you have life. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Peter 1. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We just decided to have a conversation this evening, right? 1 Peter 1, 23. Are we together? Yeah? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, hallelujah, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we are born again. We are born again. the Word of God, the Spirit of God has actually put in us, or has made us to experience the new birth. Are we together? Yeah? Look at 1 Peter 2, the next chapter, 2 verse 9. Oh, glory to God. 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 Oh, glory to God. Look at verse 9. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, right? That ye should show forth the praise of him who had called you out of darkness into his what? Marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people, but are now. Right? We have now returned to the bishop and shepherd of our souls. Did you see that? Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now we have what? Obtained mercy. Yeah, this is where a new generation, a chosen generation, a breed of people, yeah, a breed of people that is unique. Yeah, what you call the new creation, what you call the new birth. Are we together? Or the new creation in 2 Corinthians 5. Are we together? Are we together? Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:20. Ephesians 4. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 20. Ephesians 4:20. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have learned him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according unto the deceitful lust. Yeah, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Yeah. Yeah, that's it's talking about your mind. Yeah, but that's where you have the genitive of apposition and all of those conversations in English language. So, and be renewed in your mind, so to say. Spirit of your mind is just figurative. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness as true holiness. Yeah, so we have put on the new man, right? We now put off the old man in our conduct, or by nature, or so. But by nature, we've actually put on a new man. But in our conduct, we renew our mind, and in doing that, we're putting on the new man. Are we together? Are we together? Look at Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Look at Romans 12, verse 12. It says. Romans 12, 1, sorry, Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the spirit of the mind. You see that it has Ephesians 4. Yeah, be transformed. So have you been transformed from glory to glory? Yes, 2 Corinthians 3. Yeah, have you been transformed into the new creation, the new birth? Have you had that? Have you experienced that? Yes, you have. But there's such a thing as the ongoing, right? So you should be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the spirit of your mind, right? That you may prove what is good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Are we together? So becoming a new creation is simply by believing in the resurrection. Yeah, what Isaiah will say, who have believed our reports. Are we together? Who have believed our report? Look at John 3:16. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God in such a manner loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Remember, John now tells you in 1 John 5 that he who actually receives the Son of the life of the Son of God has received eternal life. Yeah, and we know that we have eternal life, which is we have God's Spirit. So, what does it mean to be born again? It means to believe in actually the work of the resurrection, the work of reconciliation that God underwent in Christ Jesus. Look at John 6:35. Or John 6:30. John chapter 6, verse 30. It says, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? So our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread of heaven. Yeah, for the bread of God is he which come down from heaven and giveth life to the world. So the bread of life is a person. The bread of God is a person. The bread of heaven is a person. I was together. Yeah. Then said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto him, I am the bread of life. So when you eat the bread of life, yeah, you quench hunger, that is, you drink of the living water, you quench thirst, that is, you are born again, which is actually to be born of water, to be born of the Spirit. Are we together? Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Let me close there this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Yeah, so you're about to remember. Isaiah will say, "Who have believed our report?" So, what are you supposed to do with this that Paul is declaring? A man is to what? Believe. When you believe, what happens? You're a new creation. So, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which is I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. But deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how the Christ died for our sins, can you see, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and was seen of Cephas and all of that. So when you believe that, what happens? You have actually like one who has what? Even though your sins be as red as crimson, he makes them white as snow. Are we together? Remember from Isaiah chapter 1, then looking at the sin of the people which was rebellion. And that was what was referred to as sickness, which actually was what Isaiah now speaks about as being healed by his stripes. Are we together? Yeah, are we together? So in the real sense, yeah, we need to pay attention to Bible. We just did a very interesting long Bible study today just to explain the new creation and really what we've received. So I'll do a brief recap just now, right? So the Spirit of God we have received is actually a proof of God's love to the believer, which is actually an expression of the grace of Jesus Christ in the resurrection, which we have received. Now, that actually means that we are born again when we believe that truth or that fact. That actually means by extension we are born of water and of the Spirit. That actually means by extension we receive God's clean water. That actually means by extension God has given us a new heart. That actually means by extension, if we believe, we are new creations, we are new species. It actually means that actually we are a new man or we are new men in Christ. So the Christian faith, you see, we just did a quick study now. We tried to explain the healing, which as Bishop, we are returning back to Bishop as one of our souls, from where? Isaiah. And we explained the new birth from where? Ezekiel. Right? It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I hope you've learned a few things here and there. Time. Until I come your way again on Sunday in church by 9 o'clock, Jesus remains glorified. Cheers. I love you all.